We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, January 25th, 2023, at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Jurgen, Taxby, Schuler, Teeman, Dorn, Swavely, and Lytle. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held January 11th, 2023. Approve all claims through January 25th, 2023 in the amount of $1,220,871.04. Accept claim number 2301-0119 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $775 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve bank balances, securities, and six-month board settlement reports for Gage County. Gage County funds ending December 31st, 2022. Approve reappointing Richard Douglas to the Blue Rivers Area Agency on Aging Governing Board for another term. Approve specs and call for bids for rock and gravel for a period beginning March 10th, 2023 and ending March 9th, 2024. Bids are to be opened February 22nd, 2023 at 9:15 a.m. Approve utility permit number 1259 to Dwayne Sims. Mr. Sims will be installing a new electrical service line for a new well on the east side of Southwest 100th Road, approximately 1,200 foot south of Chestnut Road. Mr. Sims will be trenching a line 6 inches wide by 36 inches deep, starting in the west grader ditch, trenching east to the east grader ditch, then trenching to the new well on the property. All work will be on private property located on the east side of Section 21 and west side of Section 22, Township 5 North, Range 5 East, Brant Township. Approve receiving and placing on file the 2022 annual report for Claytonia Rescue Squad. Approve declaring a 2014 Dodge Charger Silver, 149,682 miles, VIN number 2C3DXAGXEH366853 and 89 AM General Humvee, green, 43,493 miles, VIN number ALTHD00020005ZF4 as surplus and selling them on Purple Wave. Approve Gage County balances of liabilities as of 1/10/23. I'd ask for a motion to approve the agenda as presented, unless there's any items any of you would like to pull off.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely to approve the agenda as presented. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 2301019, Beatrice Lawn Care, in the amount of $775. This would bring the total amount of claims approved through January 25th, 2023 to $1,221,646.04.
So moved.
And this is a company I'm involved with. By Swavely.
Second.
Second by Jurgens. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion. Oh, I'm sorry. 6 in favor with Teeman abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. This would be for any comment on anything you'd like on the agenda for a future date.
Yeah.
Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Somebody had to start.
Please give your name and address for the record, sir.
I'm Steve Kanoki. My address is 28827 South 176th Road, Virginia, 68458. Didn't feel like I was very well prepared on Monday, so I went home and got organized a little bit better today. Thank you for taking time to listen to the concerns of the people regarding the unpaved 3-mile stretch of road from Virginia to Liberty. Working from memory, some of the valid concerns that were made last Monday included: the Virginia Liberty Blacktop connects Highways 4 and 8. The significance of this stretch of road would increase if fully paved. The Lewiston School District is losing patrons due to the poor travel conditions associated with the unpaved section of road. Numerous attendees pointed to safety concerns due to the narrow width of the road. There were numerous complaints from residents concerning flat tires and chipped or broken windshields from the rock. Frustration was expressed concerning commitments that were made decades ago to finish the remaining 3 miles that were not honored. Several people stated that they deliberately go out of their way to avoid traveling the unpaved 3 miles. It was pointed out that with the current condition of the road, it is not possible to reach the speed limit safely. The road sees significant traffic from two or three school districts as well as emergency vehicles that deserve to travel on safe, unrestricted roads. It was pointed out that this road is frequently used for funerals at the Virginia and Liberty cemeteries that also deserve good roads. Residents of the far south part of the district pointed to economic loss, stating that agricultural business is going to northern Kansas in lieu of staying in Nebraska due to the poor travel conditions of the unpaved 3 mile stretch. It was noted that most of today's farmers are now using semis instead of straight trucks as were used in the past. Many of today's farmers are using their semis to haul to Farmers Co-op in Virginia or E-Energy Adams, and the Virginia Liberty Road catches most of this traffic. The road also sees a lot of traffic by FedEx and UPS on a daily basis, as well as feed trucks from Farmers Co-op and Booth Feed. These trucks are also larger than they have been in years past. It was pointed out that during dry conditions, dusty roads prevail, causing serious vision problems. The road requires continual maintenance. When wet conditions are present, the road ruts and deep potholes appear, causing safety concerns. The response from the county is to send out the motor grader and grade the white rock back into the ruts and potholes, slowing traffic down to a minimum and starting a whole new cycle of flat tires and broken windshields. Concern was expressed over the usage of tax revenue in light of continually increasing land values, resulting in unending increases of personal property taxes, excuse me. I'm sure I've unknowingly omitted several valid points that were made at the Monday meeting and apologize to these people. I'd like to thank you for allowing me to present this summary and want you to know how much we appreciate your service to the community. To be sure, acting as a supervisor requires you to evaluate and prioritize community needs with a limited amount of funding. With that being said, it's clear that the completion of the 3 mile stretch of road that is unpaved on the Virginia Liberty Road is a question of economic priority. A number of the attendees met after the Monday meeting and discussed the economic shortcoming. Given the supervisor's rebuttal at the conclusion of our segment expressing priority issues, we would like to ask that the supervisors consider the initiation of a tax bond to fund the paving of the final three miles of this road. For whatever reason, we feel that we're at the bottom of the list and will remain there much the same as we have for the past 40 or 50 years. We ask that you give this proposal serious consideration unless you can come up with a more creative way to fund the project. Thanks again for allowing me to speak here today, and I hope you feel the dialogue was constructive.
Thank you, Mr. Kanoki.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Steve Fulton, F-U-L-T-O-N. My address is 440 Lakewood Drive, Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm here today to encourage the board to try to find the funding for this 3 miles of gravel between the south of Virginia, between the Liberty and Virginia roadway. I own property, farm ground between Liberty and Bardston, so I frequently drive from Lincoln down to my property quite often. The 3 miles of gravel is generally maintained okay, but during a rain event, there's several flat spots in that roadway, and after a rain event, it's turned soft, muddy, and so if you do travel it after a rain event, you're not going any faster than 25 miles an hour, or else you're going to end up in the ditch, really. For the people that live around Liberty and Bardston, the quickest way to get for business or employment to get from Liberty to Lincoln or Beatrice is this road. You going from the Liberty area to Lincoln, you save 15 minutes opposed to going through Wymore and Beatrice to get to Lincoln. So believe it or not, there's a lot of people in that area that make the daily commute to Beatrice and Lincoln for employment. So shaving 15 minutes one way off your time for a commute is kind of a big deal. I think the other area that kind of leads into another area is that you've got people using this, you know, for business and commuting for employment and that type of thing. And so you've got a blacktop roadway that's got a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, and then you abruptly come into a 3-mile stretch of gravel. So, man, I think that there's a safety, there ought to be a safety consideration to that. So I think this is a project that's certainly well needed. It's well overdue. This is, I don't know how many years we're going back that this 3 miles never got paved. So I'm hopeful that this is the board that can come together and find a way to get the funding to finally finish this 3-mile piece and make this roadway complete. So I appreciate your time, and I'll answer any questions that you've got.
Sir, at public comment, we aren't allowed to interact like that today, so a lack of questions is not a lack of interest from the board, so please understand the policy here.
I appreciate that.
We appreciate you presenting.
Thank you.
Good morning. So I am here to speak for my father. He's currently away on a government-funded trip.
Sir, could you give your name and address for the record, please?
Yes. My name is Trevor Husa, address 15235 East Plum Road, Liberty, Nebraska, 68381.
Thank you.
I'm here speaking for Larry Husa. I've lived at this address for most of my life, and I've traveled this road in question on a large number of occasions over the past 50 years. This, I believe, gives me some level of understanding of the road's weaknesses during all four seasons of the year. During the spring, we have rains that saturate the road and break down the base. There are times when one cannot drive the road unless they have a four-wheel drive truck or tractor. The road is also peaked in spots with drop-offs at the edges, which can cause a vehicle to slide into the ditch when meeting drivers from the opposite direction. Even when pulling over, because the base of the road is limited at the edges, the auto tires tend to dig in or sink in and grab on the ditch side of the vehicle, pulling the vehicle dangerously into a ditch. In summer, even when dry, the road is a hazard. Large clouds of dust from semis or autos going by can even obstruct one's vision. There are rocks at windshields. When it's wet, it is the same as mentioned in the spring driving section. In the fall, farmers are using this road to deliver their crops to the elevator. This time of year is often the most dangerous, with traffic from semis, school buses, students, and people living and traveling back and forth, making for a very busy road, exacerbating the issues mentioned in spring and summer driving. Winter has special challenges, one of which totally negates use of this road. The 3-mile stretch road has large numbers of whiteouts and drifting during the winter. This dangerously lessens safe access to the road and sometimes closes the road completely. The worst aspect of the section of road in the winter is that snowplows clear the paved section, but instead of clearing through to Virginia like you think they would, they turn around and leave the three-mile section blocked. My mom and his wife used to be a nurse in Beatrice, and there were numerous times over the years where she would drive north to the south end of the gravel and need to turn around. I personally view this as unacceptable and potentially life-threatening to others. This road is used by many people when it is safely drivable for local business transactions, shopping, attending schools, recreation, and a number of other reasons. One recreational result of poor road south of Virginia can be seen from the road in front of my house. There used to be few sportsmen and their boats driving by on their way to the lake north of the beeline. Now they are seen more often, and I believe they aren't seen as often. I believe a major reason for this is the poor gravel road south of Virginia forces them to take a longer route to the lake on a paved road. One item brought up by some is that the road counts are not high enough to justify improvements. I believe that after reading what I have just written, one can easily see how people are not able to drive on this stretch of road with any confidence. That is, that it will be open or safely drivable during any given time of year, or more accurately, any time of the year. This knowledge makes people take alternative, longer time and money-consuming routes to get where they're going. Proper modern infrastructure is critical in the growth and improvement of any given area. A good example of this is a nice four-lane road we have, quickly and efficiently enjoying shopping, medical, entertainment, etc. in Lincoln. My understanding is that the funds are available for road improvements in our county. The improvement in question, paving the three-mile stretch from Virginia to the south, should be at the top of the list. Another thought is that since the road in question is east of Beatrice, perhaps we should put a church at the end of it. This seems to be the only way to gain attention and get a safe road in a given area. Since the completion of the four-lane road from Beatrice to Lincoln has been called a bump stop on the way to Lincoln by many people, the four-lane was put in to help people in our county access Lincoln and the interstate along with helping Beatrice. The road in question will help in southeast Gage County in a similar way. Gage County is not and should not be treated as a one-town road entity. All people in this county have paid for the right to have access to a logical number of all-weathered roads, no matter what section of the county they live in. The southeastern end of Gage County has needed a proper all-weather road connecting Liberty area with Highway 136 for as long as I can remember. Completing this section of the road will allow people to travel, live, and grow in this part of the community with additional confidence and safety. Development and advancement will be greatly enhanced when an all-weather road can be reasonably accessed. We have paid taxes for decades and tolerated this miserable road for a long period of time. Let's move forward before someone gets hurt. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Husa.
Morning.
Morning.
I'm glad to see so many people here. Considering the condition of the road, we're lucky it was frozen today, aren't we, so they could make it in. I think if you would look at the pickups and the vehicles outside and see the amount of mud on them, would give you a good picture. My name is Rebecca Snyder. I live at 18689 East Oak Road. We use this road all the time, or what if it were in good condition? If it has rained or is wet and cloudy for a day, the bottom just goes out of the road completely. I drive a car, which is to my detriment, because there are times I'm fearful I can't even drive down the road without getting stuck in the middle. It's like a hog wallow, if any of you are farmers and know what what a hog wallow is and you just grind through. That's what the road is like. After several days of cloudy weather after it's rained, or if it snows and it's not bladed and the snow sets there. So we have 3.5 miles of gravel to get to any hard-surfaced road. If the surface was finished on 62nd Road, we would have 18 miles to drive to Beatrice to do our trading and our doctoring and our banking. Since it is not, we then have to choose to go take 162nd Road south to Plum Road, drive into Wymore, hit 77 and come into Beatrice, which is 28 miles. So since I'm in Wymore anyway, why don't I just go to Marysville to do my shopping? You know, we have to think about the people and the access and the ability to get anywhere. We look at the calendar, we look at the road, we look at the weather, and then say, oh, this is the day we can go to Beatrice because it's frozen or it's dry, and it's going to rain tomorrow, so we've got to get into town while we can still get there. This sounds like the early 1900s, doesn't it, with road conditions. So if you drive a pickup or a tractor, you can get through, but not with a car. So I would consider your responsibilities. You are elected countywide. I'd ask you to consider your responsibility to every citizen of the county and not just the neighbors that you live around and you talk to daily. So with that, I would invite you to consider this strongly. Know that there are people concerned. There are people that don't like to get out on the roads, so they did not come today. I know one, my neighbor for sure. So with that, do you want a copy of this?
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Snyder.
Am I next?
Morning, sir.
Good morning. I see he's got a blue ribbon there. He must have done something good.
Getting ready to hang me with the other swing of meat, probably.
Haven't seen you guys for quite a while here, and as I look around, you guys all look about 2 years younger. Maybe I'm getting a little older. I don't know. Oh, well, getting back to the road.
Fritzen, could you give us your name and address?
29813 South 120th Road.
Thank you.
Lenhart Fritzen, Beatrice, Nebraska. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Going back to the road deal. Trying to get it off the back burner. Something that should have been done 50 years ago. So here, politics took place. I went to Virginia and with a load of grain, and I says to the guy, I says, oh, how's that road coming? Should be getting about done. No, he says, they're going to stop at the Homefield Road. They say there isn't enough money to finish. So that was it. And then lo and behold, about a year later, approximately, in that area, this is 50 years ago. Here, a brand new road, pavement and all, southwest of Beatrice was put into place. And here we're sitting, waiting for the road. They said they'd be back in a year and finish the road. Well, that's 50 years ago. Okay. Now, I had a cousin that got killed on that road. Now, we're just about a quarter mile north of where the blacktop ends today on the east side of the road. It was due to dust-related. And I'm really hoping and praying that we don't have a busload of kids that get hurt, because I think it would probably take more lawyers' fees than it would to fix the road. With all the, we went through Beatrice 5 here, you know what the lawyer fees are. The lawyers, they kind of like the tax money. Is that right, Roger?
Hey, be careful here.
Okay. you know, I got to excuse me. I only got one eye and my hearing gone. So, and I want to, one thing I want to thank Steve Jensen for getting all of the people together and to try and convince you guys that something needs to be done. So, now, let's see, where am I at? Here's another one. Oh, yeah. I've got a plan for you guys. I'd like to, for you to listen to how to handle this money deal. There's not that many dollars really involved, approximately $3 million. And what I'd like to see is that you guys look into getting a tax-free bond and take it out for about 5 years, then have it recallable in about 2 years. And the interest on it will probably be 3% or less on it. So, and as far as the money, to get the money, we've got, I call it the estate tax. You get money from it every year. It, that varies, depends upon how many people die off, I guess. But you get about 1% of that, the inheritance tax, I understand. And you guys can take that money and make your payments on that bond and then just glide it into your agenda, and it wouldn't take very long. And as far as the road, I'm thinking it'd take about $1 million out of, I'm not off, I wasn't at no meetings here, but about $1 million, because the county can do a lot of the work themselves, and there's no bridges involved. Don't have to replace no bridges or anything. So that, so I don't know how far I'm off or anything. And so I'm hoping that, get it off of the back burner, shut the front burner off, and put the back burner on fire. Get it to going. So, well, I thank you for the time.
Thank you very much, sir. Ms. Zimmerman, you'll make it up here eventually.
Good morning. I'm Linda Searcy. I live at 319 2nd Street in Virginia, Nebraska. I'm on the Village of Virginia board, and I wanted to get up here this morning and speak about all of these things that they've talked about. I've heard since I was a kid. Unfortunately, that kind of shows my age, but I remember my dad coming home and talking about what Lenhart's talked about, that road not getting finished, and how disappointed he was in the county when that happened. Of course, my dad's gone now, so, you know, he wouldn't get to see it if he did finish it, but it would be important to all these people didn't come today just because of Steve, but I appreciate that they did come, because we've been waiting for years for this to happen, and one of my greatest concerns is what Lenhart said. I have grandkids that ride a school bus on that road. My daughter, she used to drive to Lincoln to SCC. She chose to live there because she wanted to live in the country, and it was a nice little house, and she lived in the little house that's right where it ends. And she went to Lincoln for 2 years and drove back and forth on that road, terrified as I was as a mother that something would happen to her. But, you know, she did it because she loves Southeast Nebraska, and she loves where we live. She still lives here. She happens to live in Beatrice now. She works at the hospital along with my other daughter, and my son lives here too. And we all live in this part of the state or county. And I know that you guys are very, very concerned about where you live in the county and what happens there. But I have to agree with these people about the fact that we feel like we've been just thrown to the side and no one cares about Southeast Gage County. Sad part is there's a lot of people there, and I truly believe that we could have a lot more people. I'm also on the Lewiston School Board, and I can tell you that it would make a big difference for us to have that road there, because I truly believe there could be people that move in there. We would have more people wanting to take that route, to take their kids to school there. Yes, I know you're going to say in your heart that would affect Beatrice, but I can tell you right now we have two buses that pick up kids in Beatrice, Nebraska, and go to Lewiston School. So, you know, we're helping take care of the kids around here. And it's important for us to have that road, because at least one of those buses that comes from Beatrice actually takes that road to pick up kids. So please, please, I'm just pleading with you that don't forget about us, and don't think that it's no big deal, that it's not going to matter because somebody didn't put a track out on the right time to show how many cars go up and down that road. We'd probably have a lot more cars go up and down that road if it would be paved. There is a church there, by the way, in Liberty, and it's a good church. There's a cemetery there, and there's a cemetery in Virginia. I have to agree with all those points because I have loved ones there, all of those places. So please don't forget about us. Please do your part and finish this out. Finish it out. It's been 50 years. Be the board that does it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am.
Tracy Zimmerman, 32741 South 162nd Road. So obviously the road in question. Let me play the scenario that just happened to me this morning. So I drive down this road every day. What did I do? I made two semis this morning. If I hadn't seen those semis far off in advance, and if I was paying attention, I'd be in the ditch or hurt as of just this morning. I had to get off on the side of the road and practically stop, because not only did I meet one, but I met two semis. I have one of the highest hills in Gage County, third one over. There's hills on these roads. Now, I am 51 years old. I've been driving gravel roads all my life. But what if I was a 14-year-old student with a learner's permit who wasn't paying attention to the road? I knew to get over because I could see. I looked clear far ahead to see that. They couldn't see me coming down that road. There's too many hills. So I had to literally get off on the side of the road. Luckily, today, the road was frozen, and I could do that. Most of the time, that gravel road, the shoulders aren't safe enough for me to even get on the side of the road. I would have met that semi at the top of the head, and we would have had a head-on collision if I hadn't been paying attention this morning. Not only once, but twice. So fix the road before somebody gets hurt. It's just a matter And it's worse now because of what we had to do the road. You've been trying. I understand you've been trying to fix this road. I'm not blaming you. This is not a problem that's easily fixed. We need to find the money to do it. But now that the road is not as wide, the shoulders aren't safe, you can't get over, you're meeting vehicles at the top of the hill. I was lucky today. I don't know about tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Please give your name and address for the record,
sir. My name is John Snyder, 18689 East Oak Road. I'd like to invite you to dinner. How's that? Look at me. I'm looking at you. I want you to take that road today. And then I want you to go over a mile on the Holmesville Road and come down to my place and eat. Because I'll guarantee you, you'll be pissed by the time you get there. That's all I got to say about the road.
Thank you, Mr. Snyder.
Ashley Mason, 1300 Lincoln Street. I've driven this road. It's come up many times, so I was curious. I'm not actually in the area. But after it had been brought up several times, I myself wanted to see what it was like. So I have driven out there a couple times throughout the last year. So I've been on it when it was good and on when it was bad. And I agree with so much that was stated here today. And to follow that same sentiment, I think there are other roads that the county should be looking into. Pickerel to DeWitt along Chestnut is a heavily traveled road that goes from blacktop to gravel with that same 55-mile-an-hour speed limit change. If the county is going to be out paving roads, we need to be looking at this fairly and accurately, like many of them said. Traffic studies should be done, and based off of the roads with the most heavily trafficked areas, should be paved first. After that, just move on down the list. We all know what the budget looks like. We've worked on it the last couple of years, paying things off, making sure that the county stays in the red, or I'm sorry, in the black and not in the red. So these issues can be addressed, and while there's many people here today speaking about Liberty, there's many people across the county, southeast, northeast, all around, that have issues with their gravel roads. If we're going to do something, we need to do it practically and equally. Look at all of the traffic studies and pave accordingly.
Thank you, ma'am. Would anyone else like to speak at public comment? Anything you'd like to see on a future agenda or for board consideration? We thank you all for coming. We do appreciate the input. Last chance to come up and speak at public comment. Want to make sure we give you the opportunity to, if you'd like to. All right, with that, like I say, we thank you for coming. Thank you for your input. We do hear you, and we'll move on to committee reports. Thank you all. Building and grounds, Winter Lights, Mr. Swavely.
Steve's right outside the door.
Is he? All right. I was going to start, but he's here, so.
Yeah, and if you want to pause for a moment, just give everybody a chance to.
Why didn't you ask him what he had for dinner?
Just wait till they clear.
I was going to, but we couldn't ask. I was going to ask for a phone number.
Dave, I might take you up.
Monday, I can use the stairs.
We'll probably need one here after a while anyway.
Let's take that Humvee off the purple wave and Friday. Take it down there.
Friday. I'm just thinking, mid 40, that is 40, 45 degrees in my heart. You get through February as easily.
Go ahead, David.
Okay. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
I'll start out with just a couple of interesting things. Last week, a gentleman by the name of Dean Suttle came down, and he's going to go to all 93 county courthouses, and he's just taking pictures of the interior of the buildings, of anything interesting and unique. So he did come to the Gage County Courthouse on Friday. I spent a good hour with him, and he was really impressed with the courtrooms, the boardroom. They took a lot of pictures, and then I took him up to the attic. And what his plans are, it's a two-year project. He would like to either get a documentary for Nebraska Public Television or some type of a book. So I thought that was a nice project for him. To do this, he didn't want any pictures of the outsides of the buildings. He thought that there needed to be a study done on the inside of our courthouses. So we'll have to see down the road. Hopefully, we'll be able to see our courthouse on NETV. I had the Gage County Historical Society and Museum came, and they just changed out the display in the case in the hallway. I always appreciate them. Providing us with things. They have a display of early banking history in Gage County. So that's the history part of it. As far as regular work, the extension office restroom remodel is going well. He's done tiling in the women's, so they're going to set the toilets. They're still waiting on partitions and the Corian countertops, and then they'll go to the men's room next to start on that. February 9th is the first meeting they have at the extension office, so getting close, but he feels like he has the time to get it done. I do have some bids for Veterans Office. We've talked about this several times. Insurance will be covering a large portion of it, but we got some bids also on replacing the siding instead of having vinyl siding, going with a better quality siding. And we had a safety meeting last week, and we did talk about security improvements at the Highway Department and the Extension Office. So I did meet up with Diode yesterday, and we just looked around there. So they're going to give us a proposal on some panic buttons and a couple other things. I talked to Mark this morning also about if we do the cameras, the first thing, a good starting point would be just to make sure we get a trench buried with some several conduits in it to make a path between the barn and the office area. So, and last, we do have the on the agenda, the east side entrance will be discussed, so I'll talk about that a little bit later.
Good.
So,
thank you, Dave.
Got it covered.
They must have known I'm a bad public speaker. Everybody laughed.
I always think you do pretty well, Dave. Equalization valuations will be going out. Keep your eyes peeled in the mail. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items. Gage County, fund transfer to but judgment, $400,000. Standall Appraisal Services. Appraisal maintenance pickup work, $17,862. Summit Food Services, jail meal services, $10,920.07. Washington County Sheriff's Department, boarding inmates and medical, $14,451.72. Concrete Industries, asphalt sealant, $10,412.50. Contact Engineer Solution Materials, $81,140.73. Zapp Brothers Fuel, $20,788.90. City Beatrice, quarterly 9/11 services, $57,947.22. Masonry Construction Incorporated, exterior restoration, phases 10 and 11, $124,893.
And that would have been $139,000 but they didn't get it all done, so they reduced the payment. Okay, so.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Juergens. Human Resource and Employee Relations. Not a lot going on there. We will be reinstituting, as you saw, a recognition dinner for the employees. We haven't done that for years, but we're moving forward with that. Stay tuned. Law Enforcement Emergency Management, Mr. Lytle.
Gus, you got something for us this morning?
Yeah.
Give us an update as to where you're at with the cars and that also.
Yes, that is on the list. Good morning.
Morning.
As I told you Monday, all three vehicles are on the ground at the dealer. They're on transport heading our direction right now, and they're supposed to call me between 8 and 12 on Saturday morning to meet them, and then they'll be dropping them off to us. So we've moved along that pretty quickly here all of a sudden once we found the cars. Jones has been down. They already got one of the old Chargers deinstalled. A lot of the new equipment we ordered has been sent to them up there in Omaha, so they'll start installing as soon as they get a spot there to slip in there and do that. And working on a recruitment video. We're doing it ourselves. Hopefully it's going to cost us a lot of money just to see if we can't put something out there to entice some people to apply with us. I have a young man from he's a senior this year at high school, works in the media, whatever he does there, that can kind of work that stuff and work with him, become a sergeant. We're putting something together, so. Yeah, hopefully the professional looking, so it can be to put out there and entice someone to apply. As you know, it's hard right now to get anybody to apply, period. So try something different, see how it goes. So that's about it. Got anything? Okay. Yes, sir.
Years ago, didn't the sheriff's wife do the meals at the jail?
Yes. As long as the sheriff lived there, the wife wife cooked.
And that don't happen anymore?
No, because they removed the sheriff from there, and it just sits there at a historical site.
For a reason?
It was just a thing to do. I mean, they just the sheriff's wife couldn't do what we're doing now, no way.
Can we replace the sheriff there?
I personally heard he's a hell of a nice guy. I don't know. I've never met him. But, but that's all I got, so.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens. Oh, Ms. Haxby.
So Monday we discussed the paving on Virginia Road. We heard from a lot of speakers, heard again from them. Mostly what we heard today is what we heard on Monday. We talked about available grants. We talked about other roads that need to be paved. If we looked at all the road counts, that road count was done at the same time as everything else. And so if that one was skewed, the rest of them were equally skewed. We have Sargent Street at 230, Elm at 160, the Virginia Road at 125, West Chestnut, the one from Pickerel to DeWitt at 150, Hickory is over 500, Apple is 267, this Adams Spur is over 500. So those are all things that we have to take into account. We also have a lot of mill overlays that we're reaching 20 plus years on that if we don't take care of soon, that will cost us more than it would be to repair. The Odell has 11.5 miles. The Claytonia DeWitt Road is 10 miles. Christ Lutheran at 6 miles, and that is an average of $350,000 a mile. We are working on different grants, but every grant that we apply for, there are certain criteria that we have to meet. So we have a list, and we have to go in the most necessary going down. And so to meet those grants, we do have to work through that process. we also talked about there's been 13 accidents on that road from 2011 to 2020. Of those, there were three of them on that gravel road. One was an animal, one was a fence, one was a mailbox. We also talked about the average speed on that road. On that road is actually average speed, I think, is 57 mile an hour, give or take a little bit. Actually coming off that blacktop onto that road, I think we hit a 78 mile an hour, 76. Yeah, so speed is not an issue there. Let's see here. We are starting to work on the Bus River Bridge. I went out and they were putting the piling for the support so they could drive out on the bridge and keep working on that. We're also talked about boot allowance, and we'll see that later in our agenda. Oh, and then the width of Virginia Road, Mark went out and checked that. We are at 28 feet or more on that road, so we meet state spec on the rebuilding of that road.
And what's the standard width that we're supposed to have?
28.
It is 28, so we're 28 or wider everywhere.
You're at 28 or wider.
Just after that was stated in the comments the other day on Monday, I wanted Mark to go and look at that just to make sure that road is of legal width, because it was stated that it was too narrow and undrivable. We want to make sure we are doing what we're supposed to. We thought it was, but we wanted to check. So thank you, Mark.
And one of the other things that we talked about was funding that has gone into Southeast, and Eric, you're more up on that, all of the projects that have been done down there within the last few years. Which ones were those?
In 13, we had the Liberty Wymore. We had the piece by the Liberty Wymore at that time, and I think some of the Barnston, wasn't it? Barnston Road. The last couple of years, we had two projects along Holmesville, first off the highway, and then around the curve and down. So that corner of the county has got the majority of the road funding in the last several years for sure. Mr. Dorn.
On a comment on the windshields, I met a semi on the Philly Adams blacktop the other day and got a good one in my windshield. So it's not just because of the gravel road you get them in your windshield.
Mr. Juergens?
To change the subject, Mark has stated hopefully by the end of this month, Gus is up here bragging about his cars, that we've got two of them sitting that don't move anymore. Or do you want to give an update on that, Mark? Maybe you got something better than what I have.
Monday I checked with Phil Schneider with RDO, where we ordered the new Mack trucks. One truck is in Hastings at LCL getting the box built. That one will be delivered to us by the end of this month. The second one is built from Mack, is sitting in RDO's parking lot. As soon as that one from Hastings gets delivered, the second one will be shipped over to Hastings to get the box built and hopefully delivered to us by the end of February. And then the pup, the new pup that we ordered, should be done by the end of this month, bleeding into just the beginning of next month, too. So we should have back up to full force pretty much with all our trucking by the end of February.
Heard sealant and claims or the discussion. Did you end up getting a truckload or working with Beatrice?
Nope, I called Jason Moore before. That large amount was for 6, 5, 11. It was like 16 pallets, give or take, of asphalt crack sealant. I called Jason Moore. He had already ordered his. I told him before he orders for next year to give me a call that we could possibly split, because he stated they do not have room for a full truckload, and he just never knew who to call to split a load with. So we do have that in the works for next year.
Fantastic.
Bus River Bridge, they finished driving the first pile for the false work. We are 73 feet in ground with bearing. So there is only approximately 3 to 4 feet of pile sticking out above the deck of waste of material of a 100-foot pile. I visited yesterday. They had both 60-footers on the two other remaining spots for the false work on the east side driven. They were tack welding the 40-footers that went above, and then hopefully to get those drove yet today. So we should be roughly 73 feet in ground on the false work. We will probably be closer to 53 to 63 feet in the riverbed if we can get bearing off those areas. So there might be some additional length on those areas. I don't know until we get there.
Hard telling where the rock is.
It is. The NDOT did come down. It was a gravity drop hammer that was driving the pile. They did come down. They've never used a gravity-driven hammer. They did come down, put some of their electronic calculation machines on there to try to help Manili Wagner simplify their formulas and also for themselves. So hopefully we get a an easier equation to work this off.
What's the point of using the gravity hammer? I mean, or just out of curiosity,
it's
why?
It's what Pat had instead of renting a diesel hammer, a hydraulic hammer. He's using what he's got.
Just wondered.
It's interesting to see. I mean,
that's no different than the old well drillers. That's how they used to do it years and years ago. Pick it up and drop
years
it.
And years ago, they did it by hand.
No, you know, when I was a kid.
See, Eddie was talking about when he was a kid.
Yeah.
anything else for Road and Bridge? Thank you, Mark. Thank you, too. With that, we'll move on to...
Wow. Oh. Let's back up.
Backing up.
I'd like to have everybody be patient in the next few days. There's going to be some big issues out there on all roads, county roads, gravel roads. So, got any problems, call Mark.
Yeah. He's got broad shoulders, right?
What was that number, Terry?
555.
I'll release it in press release.
We might be in better shape, though. It's when you say the roads are in good shape that we really seem to have problems.
I haven't said that for a little while, have I?
No.
They've been, Terry's right, there's going to be some issues. There is some issues already.
Yeah, it's going to freeze up over the weekend. So.
Yeah, and then it's going to get solid again. But it's when it thaws back out again, it's going to be soft again. Yeah. So, I mean, if there's places we need to get spot rock and whatever else out, people need to let us know, make sure Mark knows where they're at. because there are issues out there, and it's normal.
With that being said, I think Donnie had some discussions with him. Bins were down trucks, and I thought it'd be a good idea if needed. Mark has lined up some alternative trucks to help if needed with rock. So,
good. Is rock available?
I think rock's available everywhere right now. Mr. Schuler?
The issue is going to be...
Go ahead and let me speak, and then I will.
With the cold weather snap coming, I don't want to put rock on frozen ground that if it does snow again, we're pretty much just wasting what we just put down. So as of tomorrow, well, they're doing a little bit today on a couple spot rocks for some county roads, but tomorrow we plan on hauling a bunch of spots down in the Barnston, Blue Springs, Wymore area to help with some school bus issues. I do have a subcontractor lined up to help us out to haul rock, and if I need more, I will get more. But with the limited window of weather that I'm going to have for tomorrow and into Friday before I start tearing up roads Friday afternoon, that's kind of where I'm sitting at.
Mr. Schuler?
Well, I've got to mention again, and Mark and I have had this discussion, as far as the size of the rock that's going on. He's wanting to put on an inch and a half because we need to have a base. I've drove the roads. I think there's a base there. It's just greasy on top from dirt being drug in when working the roads, and people that area really hate to see inch and a half put on. We've had this discussion before. I guess I would like support to refrain from using inch and a half. This is not spot rock. It's a whole miles of road that's being done. It's not a spot over an excavated culvert or one bad spot in the road. It's the entire road. And that, you put an inch and a half on it, it's going to be issues. We're still going to get more calls. I guess I said my piece. That's all. We've talked about this before.
I guess I'll throw out, I'm going to use the road leading up to my house off the highway. When that got reworked, it got all inch and a half, and we've got a bunch of nice cars and stuff in that area, and people howled about rock on the road. Same people that had howled about not having rock before got mad because there's rock and it was dry, just like frozen, that sat on top. It throws around and everything. As soon as we get the moisture, that rock went in. I got calls and texts from the same people. We need more rock on that road. And it's like, I know this is a process. I don't know if we need to educate the public on how this works, but there's not really an alternative. I mean, you build a road. I mean, I don't know what the alternative is.
Keep the dirt out of the rock when they work the road.
Really, you need the dirt too. The rock by itself won't do anything. You need that dirt.
I am going to probably switch to an inch and a half crush and run, not just an inch and a half clean.
That'll make a difference.
Try to make some smaller, get some smaller fines in there to lock everything together. Budget friendly by $3 a ton. With that little bit of lime in there, I'm hoping it also does a little bit of soil stabilization, mixing it around, that we can start stacking smaller rock on top of that to get a good base. That's, I guess, my goal and end game.
In dry times, though, will that create more dust?
In dry times, it will create more dust, and then that's when we'll go back to a cleaner rock. If need be, but we've had really good success with that crush and run on our culvert replacement areas. They're getting it put down. It gets into the soil. It creates a good base. It doesn't seem to settle as bad. Like I said, it kind of gets everything worked in there really nice.
Historically, I think, and you guys might remember, I guess it'd be you and Terry, I think it was like 08. I can't remember for sure, but... this was two superintendents ago, highway superintendents ago. We had that really bad weather where the spring kept thawing and melting and raining, and all the quarries were run out of rock. We were putting concrete rock down. We ran the Weeping Water pits out of concrete rock, just trying to get anything we could down on the roads. And, you know, you just kept throwing it out there, even though it wasn't fixing it, just trying to keep up. Hopefully we don't get into that situation, but we're due again. It's been, I'm not going to say anything too positive, but we've been fairly fortunate the last several years. But we last year, even on...
we don't speak that stuff.
Hoyg Road, though, off the pavement last winter, highly traveled road, highly maintained road. I got a call that one morning. A minivan was stuck out in the middle of the road. That day, there ended up being three. So regardless of how good the road is, you can still have that issue anywhere. Mr. Juergens.
Doug asked me a question, and I'm not sure I answered him correctly. What is there, Eric? What is the next downside rock available? Smaller rocks.
So we get an inch to three-quarter. Three-quarter is kind of what I've been trying to push on some of these spot rocks.
I thought that was
rocks.
The most common one down.
It still works in. It just depends on the size. Like I've stated, I look about 90% of the spot rocks. If I haven't looked at it, that 10%, it's because I know I looked at it a week or two before, or if my guys are looking for something to do, delegating that down to where I can stay in the office and do something else. But I do look at 90% of these spot rocks, and three-quarter does cover. But with the roads being tore up like they are, we need to go with a bigger rock to get something pushed in.
Okay, so inch isn't a common.
It is. And I'm
inch
sorry.
Three-quarter. I mean, it's.
Is that okay? So it's all one, basically.
It's really close. I mean, visually, right. You're not going to really tell all much right. difference.
Side scory, unfortunately, they do make three-quarter, but everybody uses it just because it's a nice rock. It's not as big as that inch. Mm-hmm. It lays down really nice. It's a very nice driven product. So they run out of it rather fast, so we bump up to that inch for most spot rock. And like I said, I think this is the first time I've used inch and a half for anything for the last 6-8 months. I think since we talked about it when we did Virginia Liberty, when we reworked that in August last year.
Yeah, you used an inch there.
Yep.
You couldn't get three-quarter.
I like that idea of using crush or run. I mean, yeah. Makes sense probably.
There's a difference in crush or run, which curry, too, on size.
Years ago on new roads, too, I don't know what road it is, but south of Hanover Church, that east-west section of road, when that road went into maintenance to the west, that all got reworked through that bottom, and I think that was all done in 2 to 3 inch, just to try to build that base. And talk about people being upset that 2 to 3 inch, people weren't happy, but it fixed the base, and that's a great road. It's a little bit of pain in the beginning for a good long-term product, and you've got to be looking at the long-term all the time. You can make anything look nice and shiny today.
Lipstick a pig, but it's got to be the long run. I don't want to keep going back to a bad spot every 6 months, 3 months, 2 months.
Since we're not moving on to the N-gauge report, what was the condition of that Virginia Road when you had them check it? Did they tell you what it looked like at all?
He did not. He drove it with a county truck. It's probably been 2-3 weeks since I've been on it myself. I've been checking other roads and whatnot. I planned on driving that road. I haven't had a chance to yet this week.
As you've been on it, have you noticed good, bad, otherwise?
You drive the speed limit. There's a little bit of washboards here and there, but that's pretty standard on most gravel roads. It needs some material. It does. The material disappears pretty fast on that road with the traffic pushing it down, but I don't see a whole lot of issues. I mean,
difference between that and any other road?
No difference.
834th.
I was thinking 82nd.
You can go look at my county truck. It's driven Blue Springs, Wymore Township. It's been down to Barnston. The last couple days, it's been up into the Claytonia, DeWitt, and it's brown. It's just
we should buy condition of the road to start with.
Yeah, sure.
One thing about the washboards, it gets the stuff off the bottom of your vehicle.
All right. Are we done with Road and Bridge now? All right, with that, we'll move on to... Do you want a recess? We'll take a 5-minute recess at 9:50.
eventually, Rachel.
I'll be there.
Are you ready? We will reconvene the Gage County Board at 9:59 on the clock.
Push me in, that's fine. I got room.
We're good. We have the opportunity to welcome Rachel Krackemeyer, the Engage Executive Director, to present her quarterly report. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. Well, I'm going to keep this real short for you guys. Hopefully you've all had a chance to review my report that I sent. I'm probably going to sound like a broken record. It's a lot of child care information again. We are dealing with a two-step forward, one-step back scenario in our work that we are doing to combat the deficit. So moving through the packet that I sent, I finally was able to acquire the economic impact study that Nebraska Public Power District did. They did a economic study on the impact of the deficit of child care in the state of Nebraska, and they did it for the state as a whole. And I asked that those numbers be centered on and focused on for Gage County specifically. So I've included that report for you in here. I want to, let's see, this would be on page 3 of your packet of that report. Table 3 in that report, it shows an estimated annual impact of the inadequate child care for families in Gage County is estimated at a total of $3.9 million of an economic impact in Gage County alone. Beyond that, that was a 28-page report because it also included the full report on the state as a whole. So then you would have this document, which is the Gage County data, which shows you exactly how we derive the deficit in the county. These numbers were slightly updated as of December of 2022, which shows a deficit of approximately 381 spots, child care spots, quality affordable child care spots. So we are, I can tell you right now that number is already different. With the funding that Engage received, we effectively decreased that deficit by about 88 child care spots with the work that we are doing with providers to increase their capacity. Since then, I've had conversations with providers who have received phone calls from desperate families because in-home providers are effectively closing their doors. Some families were given a single day's notice that their provider was closing the door. So we've still got a lot of work to do on that respect, but you guys can have that information to be able to understand what that is. Because that directly affects our businesses here in town. And my efforts to recruit additional businesses or new businesses to come to town are halted because we can't even fill our current employers. So that's a lot of my effort here as of late. With that, I'm working with businesses, with the public school systems to integrate our high school students into our businesses at an earlier age in hopes that they will find a career that interests them and find that there's employers right here in Gage County and Beatrice, wherever it may be, that they can have a sustainable job right here. They can go off and get an education, come back, and live and work and raise a family right here in Gage County. So hopefully, as we develop more of those partnerships to get these students in job shadowing or internship opportunities, whether it's paid or unpaid, we're basically in the process of surveying our employers throughout the county to see who would be interested in whether how many students they would be able to take. Would it be a year-long job shadow or an internship, school year long, to where potentially it could turn into a full-time job in the summer? There's studies and statistics that show that the earlier we integrate youth into the workforce, the better their sustainability in a career is over the long term. So that's 10,000 foot view of what I'm doing, but I can tell you I am very busy and have lots of awesome things happening. People are wanting to do, businesses are wanting to do very creative things to meet the need there. So, any questions? Very good.
Nothing? She's going to get off that easy?
Well, we did make her wait like an hour and a half.
Well, she would have been up, but Terry went back in to ruin the bridge. Thank you very much.
No problem. Move place engage quarterly report on file.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely to place the engage quarterly report on file. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove designating the Gage County Board Chairman as the voting member for the Engage Annual Meeting held on February 28th, 2023. We've done this in past years, just to make it official. Mr. Juergens.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Lytle. Any discussion on this? I would ask if any of you want to visit about potential candidates and stuff. Talk with me anytime here in the next month or so and kind of let me know what you're thinking. Motion by Juergens, second by Lytle. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Discuss and approve or disapprove hiring an engineer to give ideas for the east entrance. Mr. Swavely, do you want to take this one?
I started off, okay, somebody can jump in then, okay, but, you know, there's been talk for quite a while about, you know, the east entrance. You know, we have a sump pump that drains the water away, and there's all kinds of, we haven't had major problems, but occasionally one of the pumps will go out and there's things go wrong, and there's been some concern recently. It may not happen for a while, but it might, is that, you know, a lot of courthouses are one entrance. I really don't want to see that, okay, myself personally, but we have to look to that because that could possibly come someday. And if that's the case, then that entrance down there is kind of a we should improve the doorways. I mean, we'd like to think about putting a sliding door in because if they end up putting a magnetometer or whatever the heck they call it in there, why you know, it could be a, you know, space problem. So that plus the fact that we could eliminate, and all this hinges on, this is a historical building, so there's a lot of things that we might be prohibited from doing. We can't decide that. We need to have somebody that understands those rules and those things to come, at least the first thought I think is just come and have somebody, pay somebody to come give us ideas, period, just give us ideas based on what they know about the historic buildings and those things, and then bring it back to the board, and the board can then, you know, say yay or nay, or let's do this, or let's do that, or forget about it, whatever. But I think it's worth our investment right now to have an engineer come take a look at it and see. David, you want to talk? Do you have anything to say about that?
No, thank you for explaining. Mainly, I would just like to add that when this ramp was installed 20 years ago, it was just mainly considered a handicap entrance. And since then, we have used it as a main entrance a lot of times. And the ramp is heated, but we noticed the last couple years on really cold days, it used to work all the time. And now the last two snows we've had, it's worked fine. But if you get a cold day and you're expecting people to use that ramp entrance, you pretty much have to be with it all the time to make sure it's not icing up or anything. So that's been a problem, and I know we've been talking about it for a while of different ideas, and I think it is time to come up with somebody to give us some more long-term plans on it. So
if we go to a one entrance, the south one would be closed?
Well, that's what we did with
the east one is handicapped.
When there was a court, we had the jury trial. It was kind of a high-profile court, and we did close all the doors except for the east entrance. And also the east, I mean, it does get a lot of use on busy days with inmate traffic. They all use that entrance all the time, too. I did measure that. I think the grade would be the same, but it's a 40-foot ramp, and then it goes from ground level, and it recedes to about 2 feet 10 inches down at the doorway. And we have had a lot of issues with those doors, too, that when they did that ramp and you get the north wind, that just creates a wind tunnel. And we've replaced the door and the closure several times on it, and there's nothing that's going to stop that north wind. It'll just rip that door right out of your hand sometimes. So.
Sexby.
I'd like to approve hiring an engineer to give ideas.
Do you want to put any dollar amount attached to that, Mr. Lytle?
Yeah, I was just going to come with that same thing. I agree with the idea of looking for some concepts, but you need to be careful in just telling an engineer that we're hiring you to give these ideas, because you might end up with a $15,000 bill with six different concepts that they're engineering out for you. So, I mean, I agree with getting some concepts, but let's be careful on spending too much money on. Let's have some parameters for your engineer.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need to set a limit on it. Then. That's fine.
Do you want to add the?
I mean, what's a reasonable limit? I don't know what engineering costs are. So
I did talk to one, and they just I said, how do we go about this? And he said, well, if you do a consultation. It would be an hourly rate of like $120 an hour for him to come down. And then I guess it'd be just the preliminary, because I think we do have a lot of different options to discuss. There's a lot of things going on there.
So you have contacted somebody?
I contacted one person.
Okay.
When you talked to him, did he have any ideas to the hours that it would take to look at it?
He did not, no.
Should we request a proposal to start with, with a dollar limit that we don't know? Well, I guess anything we say is public then. Should we just request a proposal to start with a cost request?
You can do it like anything. Dave's real good at, like talking to three people. And like you said, one of the places I would look at would be at the university. Get a student involved. And again, before you're not going to hire them to do the job, but they can conceptually come up with some ideas that you can look at and then take it to a certified architect / engineer. But, again, that's the university. A lot of times I know we use SEC anytime we can use those students because they have somebody overseeing it, but it's also a learning opportunity for them. Plus, it's a cost savings for the county. That's just a thought. You may not be able to find somebody, but right now finding anybody that will work is a lot of fun.
I don't know how you put that all in there, Emily, but if you figure out the way, I'll second it.
I would just say, to Dave's discretion, let him lead this. I mean, he knows what we're looking for.
Dave and Dave? Is that
Dave
what
and
mean?
Dave?
Maybe.
I'll second that.
Okay.
We have a proposal or a motion by Ms. Haxby instructing Dave and Dave to request proposals with potential price tags for a conceptual, at least some conceptual options for a new entrance to the east side. Is that what you said? And a second by Lytle. Any additional discussion on this?
I hope so.
I think that, I just say, I think that we need to look at something like this, even making that turn with the ramp that we have now and for a handicap into that door. We need to look at sliding, and then if we could put an awning over that entrance, we would eliminate the water issue, really help with the freezing issue. Cost savings would be long term then.
Sure.
So that's. I think it's a good idea to have at least looked at.
I know I went up the stairs and the doors were closed, and I went up to the roadblock, and then I tried to leave the building the same way and got stopped the yesterday.
Frustrating, isn't it?
We have hall monitors.
Use an inch and a half rock.
Oh, yeah, then we'd get traction. All right, we have a motion by Haxby, second by Lytle, that I won't repeat. No additional discussion. Please vote. Seven in favor. Motion carries.
I'll get with you, David. Okay, so.
Approve or disapprove handbook change on the highway boot allowance from $50 being, $50 allowable per year per employee with receipt for a pair of boots to 50% of the cost up to $100 to try to encourage better footwear for the highway department.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle to approve, second by Haxby. Any discussion? Wow, didn't see that coming. All right, if there's no discussion, I would ask you to vote. Seven in favor.
Do we have other handbook changes?
We do.
You don't do that at the same time? Or?
We've got a bunch of handbook potential changes. I have given the clerk's office a whole bunch of other jobs, so this one keeps getting pushed down the list.
The name, number, you're stuck 1, 2, and 3, I think, by now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of projects he's been working on, so we will get to the handbook changes.
We are meeting. The officials are meeting tomorrow, so
So a lot of those will come from the other elected officials, actually. I mean, some of ours more with the highway department.
Did you say the elected
like
officials are meeting tomorrow?
Less the board, probably. I mean, you didn't want the board there, do you?
You don't.
We could be there, of course, but a lot of times the elected officials will meet without us.
Do you think it'd be this time would be a good time for one of us to be there, maybe?
It's up to you. We can hear what
just with some of the things that we've been discussing.
I just heard Gary volunteer.
I was thinking the chairman would be the one that would be best to be there.
I did go to the last one, and then I left. They were gracious and had me come. I had some questions for them. I'd be happy to go if you want me to see if they have anything. What time?
What, the real time or the fake time?
I will be in Lincoln at a SEND meeting tomorrow afternoon.
Looks like the vice chair. At what time did you say?
Ta-da.
I can make it if you need me to.
Emily, are you around? Or do you want to go or leave that up to you too?
I'll check with my babysitter. I'll text you.
Let me know.
Okay.
Did you send that out? No, not the notice, the book.
Oh, the book? No, we got it from the first time we had it.
The first time?
Well, I'll try to find another one for you, Roger. The ones we worked
just
on.
Just tell me when you emailed it. I'll go back.
I'll have to look.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Up next, approve or disapprove the 2023 board and committee appointments. I think each of you has, each of you does not have a copy yet.
I wasn't sure where you were at with them. I wanted to make sure that I hadn't changed anything on me. I think the only changes on that was just updating Mr. Swavely's name.
Mr. Swavely is appointed in lieu. Oh, you have one.
Mr. Byers.
Thank you, sir. Sorry. Can't put it up till it's approved, though. Take a look through there, see if there weren't a lot of changes, actually.
The only changes were was to go from Mr. Byers.
That was it. There wasn't any other name changes.
I don't think so. I don't recall anything else. I think it was just that moving around. Yeah, I don't think there was any other. It was just replacing, because I hadn't updated the actual paperwork. We had done the verbal to Mr. Schlavely that he would be on these committees. but I hadn't updated the paperwork actually to reflect that. So that's the changes that I recall making. in that way, too, on the standing rules was updated because that has the committee appointments in that one, too.
And we can say that with the standing rules. Committee.
You want a motion to approve the 2023 board committees and appointments?
Second.
By Lytle. Moved by Lytle, second by Haxby. Are there any of these that anyone dislikes or strongly dislikes? anything that anyone would like moved or moved around to? If not, we have a motion and a second to approve these. Like I say, they're basically as we've been acting. And I will add, the committee meetings aren't, the chairmen are still important on the committees. The committee assignments aren't as important because we meet as a whole now. Years ago, before I was here, each committee would meet upstairs separately, report back to the board. We basically act as committees as a whole now until there's a specific project.
It's a lot different.
Still, like Mr. Lytle, Mr. Swavely, Mr. Juergens meet directly with individual people and come back and report to us still, but we still all sit in. And
well,
Mr. Lytle.
Just to talk on that a second, while I and Dave and Terry could say what they'd like to, but I would just like to say that while there is some pros to doing it that way, what we're doing now with the committee as a whole, I appreciate and I really, really like the way that we've gone to doing it. And the old process was fine. But there was times where there was gaps in communication and not everybody knew what was going on. And so this, the way we're doing it now is really nice.
Yeah, you didn't find out until the meeting comes sometimes what was going on. I mean, if the building and grounds or the finance committee, they met and did their thing, okay, then they would settle on something and come back and bring it to the board, but sometimes it was a surprise to the board and there was a lot of discussion. So I really think, you know, since that's what it was when I was on before, but this is a better way, I think, because we sit here on Monday mornings and everybody hears it. It's not just a couple people, okay? So I think it's a good concept, so.
It's good for transparency amongst all of us as well and the public. Any other discussion on this?
That's a good point because we've had a lot more public involvement since we've gone mm-hmm. to this too. Yeah.
I think we've really done a good job at the board here trying to be transparent with the public and working with them, making sure they have their voice here with us. We have a motion to approve by Lytle, second by Haxby, and this would be to approve the board committees and appointments.
For 2023.
I'm sorry?
For 2023.
If no additional discussion, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Boy, we're beating Congress here, aren't we? Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove the 2023 Board of Supervisors standing rules. And I would also say when we make a motion on this to include the new committees and appointments for 2023 also. You each have a copy of the standing rules. Do they each have a copy of the proposed? So I would steer you towards rule number 17, minor administrative change on each of those items like we talked about Monday. Instead of it saying oversee each of the committees, it says...
Number 11 change, though, to call for the question.
I have that marked. Yes, probably. In the text we're given here on the printed sheets, Rule 17, each of these committees says in the description to oversee and serve as a liaison instead of just oversee. So there's no confusion that person is not running it. It's they're that in between and they're watching over and kind of helping take care of all the issues that come along. That's on each of those. Rule number 11, Previous question shall be in the form of, or in this form it says, shall the main question be put now? None of us really say, hey, shall the question be put now? If you want to change that to motion to call the question, just in conversation and vote, that would be a change we could make just because we talk that way. We don't need to. We can leave it in there as is. We still know what's being said when.
Basically, the only thing you'd have to do is somebody call it as an improper question. The board would have to pull out the standing rules and look at what it was supposed to say.
And I wouldn't
do it.
I wouldn't know that anyway.
You know, like I said, it'd have to be called on as a point of order. So you can wait for it to happen and deal with it then.
I'd say let's leave it as is. In the time we've been on here, I'd say there's been two occurrences that we've called the question.
Yeah. And we knew what we meant.
So,
what are your thoughts on Rule 17? It's written, our former rules do not say that. The new rules, or the ones we have here, they do say to oversee and service liaison instead of just to oversee.
You're fine with me.
I don't.
And I'm the same way as Eddie. It makes me no difference either way.
It was understood before. Now it's just in writing.
Are there any other potential changes the board would like to see or propose for changes to the standing rules? A lot of these aren't incredibly important to us until they are. Generally, we're pretty lax and just converse. If we have something that's contentious, then sometimes we tighten the belt a little bit just to maintain control in our meeting. But now you guys have been reviewing these this week.
I would move to approve as it's written here in this document.
We have a motion by Lytle to approve as presented.
Second.
And a second by Mr. Swavely. Any additional discussion on standing rules? Which do include the now adopted 2023 board committee and appointments?
Should have, unless I made an error. But.
Any additional discussion? Sensing Henri on the left again. We will stay in the same chairs, even though I thought it'd be nice to change it up. That was met with
resistance.
Yeah, resistance is a nice way to say it.
Don't you like where you sit?
It's pretty safe. This one stays for now. But, yeah, if we were changing chairs, I would probably change next year, I think. We have a motion and a second to approve the 23 supervisor standing rules. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order? Good, bad, otherwise? Mr. Conkey, do you have something for us?
I got nothing.
He's beat down. He's.
I'd say we better end this meeting so Kunky can get to work.
Yeah. He's road tripping.
With that, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Lytle. Second by Swavely.
10:28.
At 10:28. Thank you, Gary. Vote.
Gaston.
7 in favor. We are adjourned.